news, weather, truth, and fun. We're iHub Radio, homegrown in the Coachella Valley. For a fresh take on the news with Anita Rufus. You won't know if you don't listen.
And thank you so much for joining me. It is March 22nd. We're into spring. Spring has sprung. And I'm trying to take you through this past week for me regarding the virus and the news and things that you might not have heard somewhere else and even some good news. I'm still back at last Monday when Fox finally admitted on air that this pandemic is a big deal and not a hoax. I'm serious. Fox did not actually admit that until this past Monday. For weeks, they claimed that the threat of the coronavirus was exaggerated. It was part of an attempt to discredit the president. But this past Monday, they began to take the threat seriously. And Jesse Waters, who is on a show that I like to watch on Fox called The Five, but he is the contrarian of all contrarians. He said on Monday on air, "I didn't take the social distancing that seriously on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. I went out to dinner in the city. I woke up this morning," meaning Monday morning, "and realized that was not the right move. I am no longer going out to dinner." There was some good news on Monday. China closed down its last coronavirus hospital because they didn't have enough new cases as of this past Monday to support keeping the coronavirus hospital open as a separate facility. And in China, in Wuhan, China, which is where this all supposedly started, a 103-year-old grandmother made a full recovery after she had been treated for 6 days with the virus. And Apple reopened all 42 of its stores in China. So there was good news this past week in China, having gotten some control and the number of cases finally getting to a point where they feel like they've made it over the top of the mountain and are getting ready to kind of coast down the other side. This past week, we had the report that a lot of tests are being devised that give results much faster in hours rather than days. And in fact, there's a California clinic that has developed a test that give results within about 45 minutes. Italy, needless to say, was hit hard. And one of the reasons it was is because Italy has the oldest average population in all of Europe. And this tends to have a greater impact on older people. Israel is working on developing a coronavirus vaccine. Cleveland Clinic worked on a test that might give results in a very short period of time. Canadian scientists are making progress in research on the virus. There's a San Diego biotech company that is developing a vaccine in collaboration with Duke University and the National University of Singapore. So there's a lot of these kinds of cooperative efforts going on all over the world, not just around our country. And all seven patients in New Delhi, India, this past Monday, who were being treated at a hospital in New Delhi, all seven patients had recovered. Plus, I was pleased to hear, and this is another one of those pieces of good news, on social media, there have been an awful lot of people who have been coming up and trying to find a way to help in their own way, individually or with small groups. There's a writer whose name is Roxanne Gay. She gave 20 people $100 each to help them pay their bills. So a total of, what, $2,000. Her pledge on Twitter inspired several other people to do the same. So there are ways that individuals are trying to step up and do something to help other people. Now, of course, there are a lot of things that aren't going to happen because of the virus. Schools, plays, music events, all over the globe. And the Kentucky Derby is being postponed for the first time since World War II. It's supposed to be held on the first Saturday in May. They are expected to postpone it until probably September. Chilling projections. This was still last Monday. The White House tough line was that without action by the government and individuals to slow the spread of coronavirus, over 2 million people in the United States alone could die. Trump's new recommendation announced Monday at that task force hearing, which, by the way, if you're in California at 1:30 this afternoon, the task force is supposed to be giving a report again, and it will be carried by all of the cable channels. But Trump's new recommendations this past Monday were to avoid gathering in groups of more than 10, avoid any discretionary travel, don't eat and drink at bars or restaurants or public food courts. And this is a man who only 2 weeks earlier was saying, this is just going to disappear. Well, it ain't just going to disappear. Now, briefly, I want to talk about how a capitalist economy works, because a lot of the proposals that are coming out from the House and the Senate and this bill they're trying to work on today to really give some relief to people who have lost their jobs, especially people who work for minimum wage or tips. How a capitalist economy works is one person's spending is another person's income. It's the exchange of goods and services for payment. That is what is at the core of a capitalist economy. It's like, I don't know if you remember the concept of a perpetual motion machine. Not unlike, you know, those things that people have on their desk where there's five stainless steel balls are all hanging off of straight down, you know, in a row. And if you pull back one on the end and let it go, as it hits the next ball, the reverberation goes all the way through and the ball at the other end pops out and then it comes back and hits. And then anyway, it's a perpetual motion machine. And ideally, that is how a capitalist economy works. What is concerning about the potential economic ripples because of this virus is that it requires that this perpetual motion machine come to a near complete stop across large chunks of the economy, and we don't know for how long. No modern economy has ever experienced anything quite like this. And we don't know how hard or easy it's going to be to turn it back on again when this is over. Now, on Tuesday of this past week, we were told that the coronavirus cases in the United States alone was up 5 times more than the week before. The number of confirmed cases on Tuesday was past 5,000 in the United States, and at least 91 people had died as of noon on Tuesday. Well, we now know that in the United States, we may have had 5,000 plus cases on Tuesday, but as of this morning, we have 26,000. That's more than 5 times up again in less than a week. And where 91 people had been reported to have died from the virus as of noon on Tuesday, that number is now 326. And once we get really widespread testing, we will know how much bigger that number needs to be. And clearly it will need to be even bigger. We've got an election coming up for president in 7 months. How will the coronavirus possibly affect that? It's already affecting primary elections. And as of this past Tuesday, there were elections in several states, all of which on the Democratic side, Joe Biden won just walking away from it. He did very, very well. But of course, both Biden and Sanders, if he's going to stay in the race at this point, are laying low because we're supposed to be laying low. But as of Tuesday, Louisiana, Georgia, Maryland, and Kentucky had postponed their primaries because they did not want people to go out and gather and wait in lines, which people in states like Arizona and Illinois, the other states that voted on Tuesday, that's what people did. Ohio also halted voting on Tuesday. Now, in order to halt the November general election for president, we would have to change federal law in order to postpone that election. It is highly unlikely that's going to happen, but there have been a lot of proposals for why don't we have more widespread voting by mail? Now, here's another thing about people helping other people to make a difference, and these are the kinds of items that I always am happy to look for. Simple acts of kindness. Neighbors, students, teachers, others are trying to bridge the gap between those who can weather what could be a long and isolating ordeal and people who may not have the means to get by. People are organizing trips to the grocery store for supplies and helping others. This one woman, her name is Jessie Farron Jones, was willing to use her Costco membership to help other people who needed to buy in bulk. She went on Facebook and posted on a Facebook group that if anybody needed to buy in bulk from Costco, she had a membership and would be happy to help. There's another Facebook group called Dot Parents, D-O-T, Dot Parents, trying to raise money to buy food and supplies for students and families, you know, who need help because the Boston Public Schools were going to be closed. They raised more than $2,000 from neighbors and purchased through a restaurant supply company food and items that people could use who perhaps weren't able to get food or to get outside to get food. Neighbors bagged up the food, dropped it off at schools for people who would come and pick it up. There are a lot of people who are offering to give away frequent flyer miles so that students could get back home when their schools closed down. People who are offering room in their garage for people to be able to store belongings. Providing temporary housing where necessary. Donate to nonprofits. You can help other people.
News, weather, and a couple of dozen loudmouths. This is iHub Radio. She calls it as she sees it. Now, here's Anita Rufus.
Okay, I thank you so much for joining me. This is Anita Rufus, the Lovable Liberal, live on iHub Radio on Sundays from 10 to noon. I'm trying to go through all of the items from this past week and how they affected me and how they may be affecting you. And I want to mention there are nonprofits out there that are really making a difference in ways that you can help. As we get in farther and farther into this containment strategy, we can't prevent this disease from being all over the United States. It already is. but containing it, trying to limit how fast it spreads and how quickly we can deal with it, this is having a very disproportionate effect on people who are vulnerable to begin with, economically vulnerable, losing jobs and wages, childcare resources, access to health care. For God's sake, I read this morning that Obamacare, the government, you got to get appreciate the irony of this. The government is opening up Obamacare enrollment early so that those without health insurance have a chance to sign up to get on to Obamacare. This is the same government that's been trying to trash Obamacare since they came in. And go to healthcare.gov, G-O-V, healthcare.gov. They are going to be doing open enrollment for Obamacare so that those of you without health care have a chance to join that program. There is something called the Center for Disease Philanthropy. This is an organization that supports nonprofits, including social service organizations. And they are focused on trying to give help to hourly wage earners, to workers who are in the gig economy, like driving for Uber, cleaning your house, to immigrant and older adult populations, people with disabilities, communities that are vulnerable to the physical health, mental health, and economic impacts of this pandemic. The Center for Disease Philanthropy, a good place to make donations. There's also something called the Coronavirus Care Fund, which is specifically trying to help domestic workers and people who do those kinds of jobs who aren't going to make any money at all. And there is the suggestion that if you have somebody who cleans your house and you're not having them come over right now, pay them anyway. These are people who have no income. Now, you can also donate to the World Health Organization. And this is a way to really make a difference on a global scale. They are the ones who are trying to prevent, to detect, and to respond to this pandemic. And by the way, Facebook is matching the first $10 million donated. So each contribution you make to the World Health Organization means double that contribution coming from Facebook. And let's acknowledge that's a good thing for Facebook to be doing. Now, food is an issue for a lot of people who are stuck in their house. I've actually had to start cooking. And those of you who know me know, talk about the greatest sacrifice in this time of difficulty. But there are things people don't realize, like fruits and vegetables can be frozen, and they have just as many vitamins when you defrost them and cook them as they did when you bought them. Frozen strawberries, blueberries, peaches, you can use them to make smoothies that are healthy for your kids and taste good. Spinach, broccoli, carrots, cauliflower, asparagus, green beans, all of those things can be frozen and then they can be mixed with pasta or rice. Get canned vegetables or canned fruit without added sugar. And when you use canned vegetables, no reason not to throw them into a stew or into with pasta. But rinse them when you open the can to get rid of some of the extra sodium. And by the way, popcorn is a great source of fiber. Sprinkle a little Parmesan cheese on top. Now, also on Tuesday, the fact that without this thing that we are calling social distancing, staying away from other people, which in fact saves lives, Without that, without slowing the spread of this virus, as many as 2.2 million people just in the United States could die. Not just could get the disease, could die, for God's sake. Social distancing is very important, not the same as quarantine. And I'll tell you about that difference when we come back. This is Anita Rufus, the lovable liberal. I am here live every Sunday from 10 to noon, and you are listening to iHub Radio.
From Palm Springs, she calls it as she sees it. Local talk that's moving the needle. Here's Anita Rufus on iHub Radio.
Okay, as we go into our last segment for today, I've been trying to get through this past week in terms of the news and the items that have caught my attention and the things I want to share with you, and I've only made it to Tuesday. Social distancing versus quarantine. Social distancing might better be called physical distancing. I went to the pharmacy. There were about 8 people lined up to get things checked out, and voluntarily, they were standing about 4 or 5 feet separate from each other in the line. That is social distancing, and it makes sense. Then there's self-quarantine. If you've been exposed to the virus for about 2 weeks, you need to self-quarantine. Stay away from everyone. And the reason it takes about 2 weeks to self-quarantine is because that's how long it takes for the symptoms to fully emerge if you have been exposed. If you've tested positive, or you suspect you really do have the virus, then something called self-isolation comes in. You need to be in a separate room. You need to be using separate dishes. It's serious, but you may not need to be hospitalized. Now, a lot of people who are stuck in this social isolation, it's like, I can't watch another rerun of Law and Order. I've already seen all the movies that are on Classic Movie Channel. Let me tell you, there's some really cool things you can do while you are in isolation. The Louvre has a free virtual tour online. The Egyptian Antiquities Department of the Louvre. You can actually go online and walk through that museum. The Vatican museums are online. The Smithsonian National Museum of Natural History, which is terrific, that's online. The Rembrandt exhibition in Madrid is online. And there's something called Nature Webcam. They have safari camera shoots. They have something called Earth Cam, which has live shots from all over the globe. You can tour the Aquarium of the Pacific. You can see Old Faithful at Yosemite. You can see the Northern Lights. This is a great thing to do with your kids if kids are home from school. Now, Tuesday was also the day that we had some voting. And I mentioned earlier that Joe Biden pretty much walked away with these primaries in Arizona, Illinois, and Florida. And Democrats truly don't believe that Bernie Sanders has the ability to defeat Donald Trump, and they are supporting Joe Biden, especially because I have to say when he came out after he won those primaries on Tuesday, and he came out and made a very calm, measured speech. And among the things he said was, let me say especially to the young voters who have been inspired by Senator Sanders, I hear you. I know what's at stake. I know what we have to do. He sounded like a president. He did. He sounded like a president. So now we get to this past Wednesday, which is what, 4 days ago? The global total confirmed cases as of Wednesday was just under 200,000. This morning, it is over 300,000. On Wednesday, the total deaths worldwide were just under 8,000. As of this morning, they're over 13,000. In the United States, on Wednesday morning, confirmed cases were just under 6,500. This morning, they're over 26,000. That's more than four times bigger than Wednesday. On Wednesday, the total deaths in the U.S. were 114. This morning, they were reported as 326, three times more. This is not something to take lightly. Now, I read this tiny piece that I want to share with you by, her name is Melina Delchik. She said, our country's missing a sense of collective action and selflessness. That is absolutely what she sees many Americans are missing right now. And Melina Delchik, she said, this is not about you right now. My parents were in the World War II generation, and there was a sense of we're all in this together. She said, we have got to realize that and save each other's lives. That has not fully penetrated yet, and it needs to penetrate, because we all have to cooperate if we're going to live past this. Also on Wednesday, we learned that the well-connected seem to get tests. The president even acknowledged, well, that's been the story of life, that the well-connected come out ahead. But then you have people who can't get tested. The one story in LA County that just blew me away was the man who gave CPR to his wife, and she became the first virus-related death in LA County. He gave CPR to her when she collapsed, and he couldn't get tested. And this was on a day when the president said out loud at that briefing, anyone who wants a test can get a test. By yesterday, he was saying, hey, we don't want everybody tested. Now, here's the insanity of some of what's going on right now. And, you know, we could have predicted this. People are buying guns. For one thing, they're concerned that we may be put under some kind of martial law to control all of this, and that means that they won't have guns available, or they're going to need to fight off the government as the government comes in to invade our cities. But gun sales were surging this past week in many states, especially those that have been hardest hit, California, New York, and Washington State. Some gun owners said they were worried that the government might use emergency powers to restrict gun purchases or take away the guns they already have. On the other hand, there were a lot of people who were just scared. But what is a real concern in a time of great stress and isolation is that there could be a tragic increase in preventable gun deaths for the very people these gun buyers say they're trying to protect. And meanwhile, Donald Trump Jr. is quoted as having said, "You don't need it till you need it," meaning guns. I'm going to leave out talk about a lot of the financial stuff that was going on this past week because they're still trying to hammer out final bills today. And the truth is, we don't know how this is all going to work. I do want to say that the idea of free coronavirus testing for all is among the provisions that was passed by the House and the Senate. And this is, in fact, one form of centralized public health policy, which is exactly what a lot of Democrats have been calling for all along. We need health care access for everyone. Meanwhile, I want to share an item with you that has nothing to do with the virus. Oh, yay, I can hear you clapping. This is still Women's History Month, or Women's Celebration Month, or whatever they're calling it now, because, hey, we get a full month, what can I say? In a tight job market, many companies were rolling out the red carpet to bring back women who had taken time off from work to raise a family. Now, of course, with what we're seeing as a result of the coronavirus, there aren't that many companies that are hiring right now. Most of them are scrambling to figure out how they can try and help protect the workers that they can't use right now. But there is something called returning women. And this is career reentry programs that are being sponsored by companies to give them an opportunity to bring in high caliber, mid to senior level women. There's about 2.2 million non-working mothers between the ages of 25 and 54 who have bachelor degrees or even higher degrees and training and who say they would like to go back to work. So there's a big talent gap that needs to be filled, especially in technical fields. And these returning women, as they're being called, returnships, as opposed to internships, these are being called returnships. More than 100 of the world's largest companies are offering some type of return to work initiatives that include that returnship participants get training, they get mentoring, and they're paid at the going rate for someone who is employed full time in that same position. So they are literally trying to bring these educated women back into corporate business. Now, another thing that, talk about a blip on the radar this past week, there was still one person left in the Republican primaries who was trying to unseat Donald Trump as president and running as a Republican, former Massachusetts Governor William Weld. Well, on Wednesday, William Weld finally dropped out of the race. So Trump has nobody opposing him on the Republican side at the moment. Wednesday update. On March 1st, in the United States, there had been 76 cases. On March 16th, there were over 4,000. That's a 54 times increase in a little over 2 weeks. And we now know that the numbers, as of today, are startlingly frightening. But if we stay calm, if we avoid the fear, if we follow common sense, if we take care of ourselves and our families, we can get through this. We need to come together, okay, 6 feet apart, but we need to come together with some distance as human beings and as a society. This is Anita Rufus, the lovable liberal. You are listening to iHub Radio.
because you only think you know the truth. Striking blows against the corporate talk radio monolith in the Coachella Valley. iHub Radio. Participation encouraged, but not required. Here's Anita Rufus.
And again, I thank you so much for joining me live every Sunday from 10 to noon here at iHub Radio. So the Food and Drug Administration did approve the first coronavirus diagnostic test that can be conducted entirely from the point of care. They don't have to send it to a lab. It takes about 45 minutes to get the results, and it was designed by a California-based company. So good for them. A company named Cepheid, C-E-P-H-E-I-D, Cepheid. And users do not have to have special training to perform this testing, so it can even be done in doctors' offices. But don't call and ask your doctor for a test unless you are exhibiting symptoms that make it apparent that you may have this virus. Otherwise, don't block up the system for people who do need them. Now, I also want to acknowledge there is a Palm Springs ventilator manufacturer. And they are going to be produced and packed into wooden shipping boxes to be sent to medical facilities around the world. And the boxes are stamped with an advisory that says, life-saving medical equipment, handle with extreme care. This is a Chicago-based company called Vyaire Medical, V-Y-A-I-R-E. They have a manufacturing plant in Palm Springs, here right around the corner. And they produce several different ventilator models. Plus, they also produce other medical devices. And they have the availability to be able to send out masks and the tubes needed for patients to use with ventilators that are made a few hours across the southern border in Mexicali. The Vyaire's Vice President of Corporate Communications, Cheston Turbefill, said the company is attempting to double its production and workforce, all while keeping current staff healthy so that they can continue producing respirators in the future. One of the things that I kind of nodded my head and said, well, yeah. The truth is that among the sales that are going up, you know, things like respirators and gloves and anything else they can get their hands on. Guess what other business, especially in California, is doing really well? The pot business. If you're going to be stuck at home watching old movies on TV, you might as well be high. It's legal. Tax day has officially been moved to July 15th, so you don't have to file your taxes by April 15th. Joe Biden made a statement against stock buybacks. If we're going to give money to big companies, it shouldn't be to bolster their own bottom line. It should be to continue paying their employees. And Biden said, I am calling on every CEO in America to publicly commit now to not buying back their company's stock over the course of the next year. As workers face the physical and economic consequences of the virus, our corporate leaders cannot cede responsibility for their employees. The kind of thing you would expect somebody like a president to say out loud, as opposed to our real president, who, when asked by NBC's Peter Alexander, what do you say to Americans who are watching you right now and who are scared? And if that isn't a softball question, I don't know what is. The president's response wasn't to say something presidential. He said, I think you're a terrible reporter. That's what I say. It's a very nasty question. How ridiculous. Now, if we are really only 2 or 3 weeks behind Italy, we have, you know, big concerns. And it is nice to see that there are a lot of people, teachers, artists, who are trying to provide the kind of diversions that we really need. Kids, there's a lot of stuff on TV and on the internet where children can not only learn, but they can be engaged. There is a Coachella Valley coronavirus hotline, and I want to give you that number. It's 760-837-8988. 760-837-8988. And I also want to share with you some things that I think are really important, including a poem that I found that was written by a local woman named Lynn Ungar. She wrote it on March 11th, which is, 11 days ago. And I thought it was really a lovely thing that might be inspiring to all of us on a day when so many people are ill, so many people are dying, and our own government is stressed to the breaking point, perhaps, with trying to keep up with it all. She called this pandemic. She says, "What if you thought of it as the Jews consider the Sabbath the most sacred of times? Cease from travel, cease from buying and selling. Give up just for now on trying to make the world different than it is. Sing, pray, touch only those to whom you commit your life. And when your body has become still, reach out with your heart. Know that we are connected in ways that are terrifying and beautiful. Know that our lives are in one another's hands. Do not reach out your hands. Reach out your heart. Reach out your words. Reach out all the tendrils of compassion that move invisibly where we cannot even touch. Promise this world your love, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, so long as we all shall live. Take care of yourselves. Be cautious. Be safe. Give a hand to someone else who needs it. It's only 2 or 3 weeks out of your life, and it may save your life, and it may save the lives of people you love and care about, or people you don't even know. This is Anita Rufus. I will be here live next Sunday from 10 to noon. I hope you will be able to join me. Thank you so much. This is iHub Radio.